Welcome to KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis. My name is Andy Jones, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour has aired every Wednesday for the last 10 and a half years. Can you believe it? Outside of This Week in Science, I think the show is the oldest public affairs program on KDVS, but not the most energetic. If you want energy, well, you might go to Radio Parallax. You might go to Speaking in Tongues. There are a lot of great public affairs programs that you can hear Monday through Friday on this radio station. If you want to find out more, visit kdvs.org. Thanks very much for joining me on a Wednesday afternoon in August. I've got some great guests scheduled, including Francisco Alarcón. Francisco Alarcón is one of my colleagues on the faculty at UC Davis. He teaches for the Department of Spanish. He is the author of a number of books of poetry, most of them bilingual texts for adults and for children. He's won a number of poetry awards, and he's given a reading with a number of other poets. Tomorrow evening in San Francisco, I'll be welcoming him back to this program for the third or fourth time to talk about that event, to talk about the spirit of philanthropy that will inform that event, and also about Francisco Alarcón and his work. And then, in the second half of the program, interrupted by some jazz music by Zoot Sims, I will have more poetry. I'll tell you about some events coming up in Sacramento in the month of August, and then some recorded poetry. Everything that you've come to expect when you tune in to KDVS. I almost can't spit it out. I'm so excited. KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis on a Wednesday afternoon. For Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We'll be right back.
This hour of KDVS programming is brought to you by Doctors Clinic for Men in Sacramento. Doctors Clinic for Men assists those unable to perform sexually to their own or partner's satisfaction. Treatments are offered which can resolve both premature ejaculation and erectile dysfunction. Doctors Clinic for Men's medication consists of only FDA-approved agents, and its staff has over 15 years' experience in this area of medicine. Confidential visits are conducted at the California Sutter Building, 28th and J Street in Sacramento. The office can be reached at 916-551-1595 or toll-free at 877-493-8839. On the web at www.doctorsclinicformen.com.
Welcome back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Very happy to have you here. Very happy to have the support of sponsors of this radio station, including the Doctors Clinic for Men. My name is Dr. Andy, and I do this radio show every Wednesday from 5 to 6. During that time, I always look forward to welcoming new poets and some of my old friends. One of those is Francisco X. Alarcón. Francisco Alarcón was born in California, moved to Mexico when he was 6, and returned to attend California State University, Long Beach, and Stanford University here in the Golden State. As I mentioned before, he's one of my colleagues here at the University of California at Davis. He's taught for the Department of Spanish for a great number of years, but has this other life as a dynamic poet, the poet that children and adults love to see perform. He performs in Spanish, in English, and in other languages that he may touch upon, and his work has been widely and deeply loved. Among the awards that he's won, they include the Chicana Literary Prize, the American Book Award, the Penn Oakland Josephine Miles Award, and many others. In 2002, he was also awarded the Fred Cody Lifetime Achievement Award from the Bay Area Book Reviewers Association. He's the author of a great number of books of poetry. They will help you review either your English or your Spanish, whatever your preference, but also put you in touch with great joy and a great number of other emotions as well. I'm very pleased to welcome back to the program Francisco X. Alarcón. Francisco, welcome back to the radio show.
Oh, thank you for having me, Andy. I think this is great. You know, I think I have to say that, you know, I'm celebrating that Philip Levine is our new U.S. Poet Laureate.
Absolutely, yeah. I plan to talk about that today. I've taught some of his work in classes, but I've never seen him read. Have you met Philip Levine?
Yes, you know, many years ago in Fresno, you know, he is actually a mentor to a lot of Chicano Latino writers. And I think, you know, Gary Soto is included in one of his, he's one of the one of his students. And I think that a lot of students from Fresno, and there's a whole school of writing poetry that comes from Fresno that is very influenced by Philip Levine.
And also, as you mentioned, a working class poet. He is being introduced to many poetry lovers now for the first time. Could you say something about some of the areas of focus, some of the subjects that he takes on in his poetry?
Well, I'm actually as many Latino writers, I'm a first generation writer. That means that my parents were not educated, and we are basically, you know, we come from the old tradition, and I think a lot of us really love the idea of that putting emphasis on the oral tradition, putting emphasis on the working, you know, perspective of life. And I think Philip Levine is one of those poets that come from the ground. I think this, you know, for me, it's just, you know, to read his poetry and to read, you know, the you know, Gary Soto and Juan Felipe Herrera and all the poets that come from that area. I think it's getting in touch with what California is all about.
Excellent. And so that's Philip Levine, and as people can find out in today's newspaper or widely online, he will be succeeding W.S. Merwin as the Poet Laureate of the United States. Well, wonderful. Speaking of poetry readings, I want to make sure to mention this a couple times. You will be giving a reading with others tomorrow evening in San Francisco. That's over at the Sunrise Restaurant, 24th Street at Folsom in San Francisco. I'm wondering if you could say a little bit about this event and the cause that it will support.
Well, you know, this is a series of events that are basically are for the benefit of a wonderful children's poetry festival that takes place in El Salvador. I actually had the chance to go to El Salvador last November. It was fantastic. This was organized by the National Library of El Salvador and also for a group of writers from San Francisco, Talleres de Poesía. Jorge Argueta is the main organizer in the States, and Mario Argueta, who's a wonderful fiction writer and also a poet, is the main organizer in El Salvador. And so we took off, and we were in El Salvador for 1 week, and it was fantastic. We were at the public library in front of the cathedral, and we had hundreds of children to come every day, and we did poetry workshops. And for me, it was very moving to have almost 700 different children coming to the National Library to listen to poets and to do workshops and to actually be able to write poetry themselves. At the end of our week, we had a special poetry workshop for teachers and mentors, and it was fantastic. They were expecting about 150, and they had altogether about 300 teachers.
Wow, wow.
And so this was a tremendous impact. We were on TV, on the radio, on the newspapers, and to me it was the idea of having this festival in El Salvador was a project that was very important because it brought healing to the community, healing to the nation. It was the first project that was supported by the government to basically to deal with poetry, because poetry is very dangerous. In Latin America, a lot of poets actually were persecuted, and in Central America, especially in El Salvador, you had poets like Roque Dalton, and Roque Dalton was killed by his fellow guerrillas when he was only 33 years old. A lot of the poets were persecuted. They were some were jailed, and some were even killed. And so writing poetry in Central America was a dangerous enterprise. And so the idea of having poets to come together and to do this festival that brought school children together was a way of healing. And the idea that we have to heal, that we have to bring peace, and we have to celebrate life in El Salvador, even though with all the drama that's taking place at this moment, because the country is not in a pleasant situation. You know, sometimes economic hardships, and also the idea that they went through a civil war that basically more than 100,000 people were killed, and millions of people left the country, and we have a huge community now in El Salvador. So this, we want to do the second one, and the second festival is taking place next November, and so this is the idea of raising funds for this wonderful idea of bringing books and poetry to children. We took about 3,000 copies of books, and we gave the books to the children there.
Wonderful, and how meaningful, too, to involve teachers, because then you're really making an investment in the future and shrouding poetry in a positive light for the children who would come together to celebrate it.
And the idea, this is like it's a series of benefits. This is a benefit that takes place in the Mission District. It's in a restaurant. It's called Sunrise. A restaurant is on 21st Street in Folsom. And the idea is that there will be myself and also another writers like Luis Echecorren and Carlos Ramirez. And there will be music also by Sara Chaguar. And so, and Jorge Argueta will be there. And the idea here is to raise funds. We will have, and we have dinner, and we'll have poetry and music. And the idea is to have a good time, and also, have an art auction, and maybe some books for sale, so we can raise some funds for this wonderful festival.
Excellent. Well, it's called Lengua and Salsa at the Sunrise Restaurant, as Francisco Alarcón said. This is tomorrow, August 11th, from 5 p.m. to 9 p.m. at 3126 24th Street in San Francisco. And the Sunrise Restaurant is not only opening its restaurant for this important fundraiser, but they're also donating part of the proceeds from food purchase tomorrow evening for this important event where all of us can do our part to make an investment in the poetry and the poets and the teachers and the children of El Salvador. Well, Francisco, I think people at home would love to hear a poem from you. If it's right with you, we're going to hear a quick public service announcement.
Very good.
And
no
then
problem.
When we return, we will hear a poem from none other than Francisco Alarcón, the poet of Davis, who I think inspires the most joy, the biggest smiles on those who are able to attend his readings. So stick around for that. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM, Davis.
Les habla Ricardo Montalbán. Hay muchas maneras de medir el éxito. Para los Shriners son los casi 700,000 niños con problemas ortopédicos o quemaduras que ellos han ayudado tratándolos por toda América del Norte con los últimos adelantos médicos por más de 80 años y completamente gratis. Hay un hospital Shriners que trata a los niños de esta zona. Si conoce a un niño que los Shriners podrían ayudar, llame al 1-800-237-5055. Shriners, dispensando ayuda y esperanza a los niños desde hace más de 80 años.
Back, everyone, to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. I'd like to thank all listeners who have been sending me their books, whether they're books of poetry or books about the world of technology. One that just came in today is called 100 Plus, How the Coming Age of Longevity Will Change Everything from Careers and Relationships to Family and Faith. It's by Sonia Arison. And the foreword is by Peter Thiel, the co-founder of PayPal. If you have a book that you'd like me to discuss or review on this radio show, especially books of poetry, you can send those to me, care of KDVS, 14 Lower Freeborn, UC Davis, Davis, California, 95616. We feature a great number of authors on this show, and if you've written a book recently, I'd be glad to have you be among their number. Speaking of authors, we have Francisco X. Alarcón on the live line this afternoon. He is a widely appreciated and much beloved poet. I've seen him appear not only in cafes and at bookstores to give readings, but also in local elementary schools where his bilingual books of poetry are the favorites of local teachers and the most treasured by school children, many of whom are encouraged to memorize his poetry in Spanish and in English. Alarcón is winner of the Jacano Literary Prize and the American Book Award, among many others. And he's going to be participating tomorrow evening in an event in support of great poetry festivals, children's poetry festivals in El Salvador, Lengua en Salsa, at the Sunrise Restaurant in San Francisco. That's tomorrow, August 11th, from 5 until 9 p.m., 3126 24th Street in San Francisco. You can Google the Sunrise Restaurant to find out more. So, Francisco, we just heard Ricardo Montalbán, one of my favorite actors from when I would see his movies when I was younger. I'm wondering if he was someone whose movies you enjoyed when you were a youth as well.
Of course, and of course, you don't also remember Fantasy Island.
Oh, sure, of course.
So it was fantastic, you know, and I think I love the way he speaks English.
Me too. I think Fantasy Island, a lot of people got to know him there. Also, for a younger generation, Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan was another great role that he reprised for that movie. So, and my brother, who writes for People Magazine, got to research his life to write the obituary for Ricardo Montalbán and discovered some new stories that he's shared with me on this radio show, so that's been fun as well. Well, tell me a little bit about the poem that you would like to share with listeners today.
It's a short poem because, you know, we're celebrating salsa, and salsa is made of Chile. So let me read you a poem about Chile. It's a short little poem. It says, Chile, sometimes a bite is all it takes for a supernova to explode.
Oh, that's wonderful.
A veces basta una mordida para que explote una supernova. And then, what do you put in salsa? You put the onions. So this poem is called Una Cebolla Feliz, One Happy Onion, and poem goes, Me siento como una cebolla feliz. En vez de hacer llorar a la gente, ahorita a todos haría cantar. One Happy Onion. I feel like One Happy Onion. Instead of making people cry, right now, I make them all sing. And I want to finish by reading a poem that is dedicated to children. And I actually read this poem in El Salvador, and children love this poem, and they have to write poems about their own dreams. This is my dreams, and the poem goes, I read it first in Spanish and then in English. En mis sueños, los búfalos rondan por las praderas libres otra vez. En mis sueños, las ballenas se vuelven cantantes de ópera del mar. En mis sueños, los delfines son admirados por todos por su ingenio y alegría. En mis sueños, no hay palabra para guerra. Todos los humanos y todos los seres vivientes se juntan como una gran familia de la tierra. In my dreams, buffaloes roam free once again on the plain. In my dreams, whales become upper singers of the sea. In my dreams, dolphins are admired by all for their smarts and joy. In my dreams, there is no word for war. All humans and all living beings come together as one big family of the earth.
Oh, that's so nice. I can see why children would so appreciate that, because it's both meaningful but also playful and imaginative with the imagery as well.
Well, you have to bring the animals, so you have to bring the people, and the illustrations were done by an artist, Paula Barragan, and is the earth. You have people from all shades of colors sharing, and having a good time, and you have buffaloes and land animals, and also you have dolphins and whales and other animals of the sea, and so everybody having a good time on the earth.
Excellent. Now, Francisco, when you read your poetry out loud, I'd like to hear, and I think people at home will be interested to know too, what sort of voices do you hear echoed in your own? Are they the voices of poets, of family members, of great orators? Who have been some of the influences for you in the way you write, and especially the way that you perform your work?
Well, I think, a lot of Chicano, a lot of Latino poets, we come from the oral tradition.
Mm-hmm.
And so this, we have, in our families, there were very few books, basically. But we come from a tradition that has a tremendous oral tradition. So I see my grandmother telling us stories, and I had a wonderful uncle, mi tío Vicente, and I was a little kid, and we used to spend summers, and we used to go to his house, his ranch. They had no electricity, no running water, but it was a fantastic place to spend summers, because they had a lot of horses, a lot of cows, a lot of chicken, and we had to feed everybody. And then at the end of the day, we'll just go around and come together in a family after dinner, and then she would tell stories, and the stories were fantastic. So to me, when I listen to to my own poems, I can listen to his voices, and the voices of my grandmother, my uncles, my aunts, and I think the old tradition that goes back hundreds of years.
That's wonderful.
And I can also listen to my own dog. Let me read you one poem, one final poem, and this is a poem dedicated to my dog.
Please do.
I have a bilingual dog. He understands both English and Spanish. I read the poem first in Spanish. It says, Bilingüe. En casa tenemos un perro bilingüe. Wow, wow, saluda primero en español. En caso que no lo entiendan, entonces, wow, wow, repite ladrando en inglés. Bilingual. At home, we have a bilingual dog. Wow, wow, he still speaks in Spanish. And in case you don't understand him, then, wow, wow, he repeats barking in English.
That's wonderful. I'm sure you give inspiration not only for lovers of poetry, but people who are new learners of either English or of Spanish, that they get to make such discoveries, almost as rewards, when they translate your work from one language to the other, rather than, say, the drier sort of sentences that you and I might have learned when learning a second language as children.
Yes, I have to say also that on Monday, I will be on the Rancho Cordova City Hall, and I will be doing a reading for 200 children. And this is gonna take place at 6:30 in the afternoon. And so I want to invite everybody to come to the Rancho Cordova City Hall. And this is a project that's sponsored by the City Hall of Rancho Cordova. And so they sponsor me, and I will be reading to in the California room in the City Hall of Rancho Cordova here in California. And this is gonna be on Monday at the 15th of August at 6:30, and it's free.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, certainly more city halls should be sponsoring poetry, I think. And I commend them for their wisdom in choosing you to share work with all those children Monday night. That should be a lot of fun.
That will be. I'm looking forward. You know, I want to do a PowerPoint presentation because I think when you have so many children, and they're from 3 to 15, so all kinds of ages, so I have to use PowerPoint to project some images and to read poetry aloud also.
Well, also, many of your books have been so richly illustrated, vibrant colors, delightful illustrations, that it makes sense that you would juxtapose images and some of those paintings and perhaps other paintings with your poetry as you present it.
I actually am very happy and I'm very honored and mesmerized by the artwork by my colleagues and Maya Cristina Gonzalez. Has done 5 of my books, and every time that I get a copy of my book, when she does it, you know, I'm totally mesmerized, and I say, oh, my God. And so, yes, and we work together very, very, very well.
Excellent. Well, Francisco Alarcón, it's always a pleasure to talk to you about poetry and to have you on this radio show. I hope that you get a big turnout at the Sunrise Restaurant tomorrow evening in San Francisco for Lengua and Salsa. And I know you'll enjoy performing with friends there and performing for a great number of new friends in Rancho Cordova on Monday evening.
That's right. Okay, thank you very much, Andy.
Thank you. Take care now. You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Now a little bit more Zoot Sims, here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Thanks very much for tuning in this afternoon to hear some poetry. We're going to try something totally different this afternoon, and that is we're going to hear some Dostoevsky. Dostoevsky, you say? Yes, Dostoevsky. Here's Crime and Punishment, read by Michael Sheen. Not the entire thing, just an excerpt from the Naxos audiobook of Crime and Punishment. I'm just assuming that this will be appropriate for all audiences. Let's see.
Crime and Punishment, written by Fyodor Dostoevsky in 1878, is the epitome of the 19th century Russian novel. A poverty-stricken young man is faced with a great dilemma. If he kills the old pawnbroker, he will make much better use of the money for society than she ever would. But is such a crime justified? Rodion Romanovich Raskolnikov makes his decision, and the outcome, a novel of great power, unfolds. In this reading by the exciting young actor Michael Sheen, the tension is apparent from the very beginning, underpinned by the music of Rachmaninoff.
On an exceptionally hot evening in early July, a young man came out of the garret in which he lodged in Stolyarny Place and walked slowly, as though in hesitation, towards Kukushkin Bridge. He had successfully avoided meeting his landlady on the staircase, to be stopped on the stairs, to be forced to listen to her trivial, irrelevant gossip, to pestering demands for payment, threats and complaints, and to rack his brains for excuses, to prevaricate, to lie. No, rather than that, he would creep down the stairs like a cat and slip out unseen. The heat in the street was terrible, and the airlessness, the bustle and the plaster, scaffolding, bricks and dust all about him, and that special Petersburg stench, so familiar to all who are unable to get out of town in summer, all worked painfully upon the young man's already overwrought nerves. An expression of the profoundest disgust gleamed for a moment in his refined face. He was, by the way, exceptionally handsome, above the average in height, slim, and well-built, with beautiful dark eyes and dark brown hair. He had not far to go. He knew indeed how many steps it was from the gate of his lodging house. Exactly 730. He had counted them once, lost in hideous but daring dreams. With a sinking heart, he went up to a huge house which on one side looked onto the canal and on the other into the street, and at once slipped unnoticed through the door on the right and up the staircase. As he reached the fourth story, his progress was barred by some porters who were engaged in moving furniture out of a flat. He knew that the flat had been occupied by a German clerk in the civil service and his family. This German was moving out then, and so the fourth floor on the staircase would be untenanted except by the old woman. That's a good thing anyway, he thought to himself as he rang the bell of the old woman's flat. In a little while the door was opened a tiny crack. The old woman eyed her visitor with evident distrust. She was a diminutive, withered-up old woman of 60, with sharp, malignant eyes and a sharp little nose. Raskolnikov, a student. I came here a month ago. The young man made haste to mutter, with a half bow. I remember, my good sir. I remember quite well your coming here. The old woman paused, as though hesitating. Step in.
How about that? Aren't you intrigued? Don't you want to hear more? Don't you want to read the book? If so, then I'm doing my job here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour, inflaming your interest in the world of literature. But first now, a little bit of background music as I decide what to share with you next, perhaps something not quite as dark as Dostoevsky. Let's move over to Proust. Swan in Love. I should have read that, you're saying to myself. Well, now you will feel even more of a pang of desire to dive into Proust, all thousands and thousands of pages of it. Here's the very beginning. Swan in Love. Read by Neville Jason. Here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. By the way, this is a 3.5 minute track, not a lifetime track. You can do it.
While Joyce was embarking on his great novels, Proust was finishing his mammoth À la recherche du temps perdu, in remembrance of things past. Neville Jason, a familiar voice on Naxos Audiobooks, crowns his work by abridging and reading this inimitable account of the end of an era, as past manners give way to new sensibilities in fashionable French society. Supported by music of the period, the journey of Marcel from boyhood to the adult world with all its frailties is perfectly caught in Jason's exceptional reading. Here, from Volume 2, Swan in Love, Monsieur Swan seduces Odette in a carriage.
He climbed after her into the carriage which she had kept waiting and ordered his own to follow. She had in her hand a bunch of orchids, and Swan could see beneath the film of lace that covered her head more of the same flowers fastened to a swan's down plume. She was wearing under her cloak a flowing gown of black velvet caught up on one side so as to reveal a large triangular patch of her white silk skirt, with an insertion also of white silk in the cleft of her low-necked bodice, in which were fastened a few more orchids. She had scarcely recovered from the shock which the sight of Swan had given her when some obstacle made the horse start to one side. They were thrown forward from their seats. She uttered a cry and fell back, quivering and breathless. "It's all right," he assured her. Don't be frightened. And he slipped his arm round her shoulder, supporting her body against his own. Then went on, whatever you do, don't utter a word. Just make a sign, yes or no, or you'll be out of breath again. You won't mind if I put the flowers straight on your bodice. The jolt has loosened them. I'm afraid of their dropping out. I'm just going to fasten them a little more securely. She was not used to being treated with so much formality by men, and smiled as she answered, no, not at all. I don't mind in the least. But he, chilled a little by her answer, perhaps, also to bear out the pretense that he had been sincere in adopting the stratagem, or even because he was already beginning to believe that he had been, exclaimed, no, no, you mustn't speak. You'll be out of breath again. You can easily answer in signs. I shall understand. Really and truly now, you don't mind my doing this. Look, there's a little, I think it must be pollen spilt over your dress. May I brush it off with my hand? That's not too hard. I'm not hurting you, am I? I'm tickling you, perhaps, a little. But I don't want to touch the velvet in case I rub it the wrong way. But don't you see, I really had to fasten the flowers. They would have fallen out if I hadn't. Like that, now, if I just push them a little farther down. Seriously, I'm not annoying you, am I? And if I just sniff them to see whether they've really lost all their scent. I don't believe I ever smelt any before. May I? Tell the truth now. Still smiling, she shrugged her shoulders ever so slightly, as who should say, you're quite mad. You know very well that I like it.
Hello. That was a little spicy, wasn't it? Now you're interested in Proust. Well, we had violence or threats of violence, and now what we might call intrigue. Let's mix in a little jazz. You're listening to Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis.
Users Group of Davis, or LUGOD, is a nonprofit organization dedicated to promoting the Linux computer operating system and other open source products as an alternative to expensive, proprietary, and monopolistic software. LUGOD meets in Davis on the first Tuesday and third Monday of each month. For more information, visit LUGOD's website at lugod.org or contact Bill Kendrick at 530-759-1019. Or via email at root@lugod.org.
You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. My name is Dr. Andy, and this is Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. We're listening to some readings. We heard earlier some Dostoevsky and some Proust. Let's move over to the world of poetry. This is Simon Russell Beale reading Thomas Hardy's The Wingtail and the Baby. These poetry tracks are unsurprisingly somewhat shorter than the prose. All of this sampler comes from Naxos Audiobooks, The Ancient Art of Storytelling on CD and cassette. You can see I went way back into the archives. Now some Thomas Hardy.
The audiobook is a perfect medium for poetry. Through the actor, the voice of the poet and the rhythm of the language speak directly to the listener. In our two anthologies, Popular Poetry, Popular Verse, Volumes 1 and 2, we offer a selection of the most popular poems, both serious and light. On Volume 1, Simon Russell Beale reads Thomas Hardy's The Wagtail and the Baby.
A baby watched a ford whereto a wagtail came for drinking. A blaring bull went wading through, the wagtail showed no shrinking. A stallion splashed his way across, the birdie nearly sinking. He gave his plumes a twitch and toss, and held his own unblinking. Next saw the baby round the spot a mongrel slowly slinking. The wagtail gazed, but faltered not in dip and sip and prinking. A perfect gentleman then neared. The wagtail in a winking with terror rose and disappeared. The baby fell a-thinking.
And now let's hear a little bit about the poets of the Great War. That, of course, is World War I. Tell me what you think of this.
The Poets of the Great War features all the major writers from the 1914-18 conflict: Owen, Sassoon, Rosenberg, Aldington, Brooke, and many others. Here is Suicide in the Trenches, read by Michael Sheen.
I knew a simple soldier boy who grinned at life in empty joy, slept soundly through the lonesome dark, and whistled early with the lark. In winter trenches, cowed and glum, with crumps and lice and lack of rum, he put a bullet through his brain. No one spoke of him again. You smug-faced crowds with kindling eye, who cheer when soldier lads march by, sneak home and pray you'll never know the hell where youth and laughter go.
Oh, that's cheery, isn't it? Let's see if this will change your mood. Now some classical love poetry. Here's an ode from Horace. Where else on the radio are you going to be hearing Horace? Nowhere but here on KDBS.
Classical love poetry is the first collection of its kind, a celebration of amorous and romantic poetry from ancient Greek and Roman sources. Paul Jessen reads an ode from Horace.
Thy heifer, friend, is hardly broke, her neck uneasy to the yoke. She cannot draw the plough, nor bear the weight of the obliging steer. In flowery meads is her delight, those charm her taste and please her sight, or else she flies the burning beams to quench her thirst in cooler streams, or with the calves through pastures plays, and wantons all her easy days. Forbear, design no hasty rape on such a green, untimely grape. Soon ruddy autumn will produce plump clusters, ripe and fit to use. She now that flies shall then pursue, she now that courted dote on you. For age whirls on, and every year it takes from thee, it adds to her. Soon Lalagay shall soon proclaim her love, nor blush to own her flame. Loved more, for she more kindly warms than Flowey, Coy, or Chloris charms. So pure her breast, so fair a white, as in a clear and smiling night. In quiet floods the silver moon of Cretan Gyges never shone. Who, placed amongst the maids, defies a skilful stranger's prying eyes? So smooth his doubtful looks appear, so loose, so womanish his hair.
That was Horace. You're probably thinking, Dr. Andy, all of this is well and good, but wouldn't we rather hear some celebrities read poetry on your radio show? Oh, I have celebrities, ladies and gentlemen. Here, with his rendition of Rudyard Kipling's If, please join me in welcoming Michael Caine.
The poetry anthology, A Dedication in Seven Ages, brings together 120 poems on the theme of the seven ages of man from Shakespeare's As You Like It. This outstanding selection is performed by 40 household names from film, TV and theatre, among them Sir Ian McKellen, Judi Dench, John Cleese, Juliet Stevenson, Ralph Fiennes, Felicity Kendall and Pete Postlethwaite. Here, Michael Caine reads Rudyard Kipling's If.
If you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you, but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting, or being lied about, don't deal in lies, or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thought your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat those two impostors just the same, if you can bear to hear the truths you've spoken, twisted by knaves to make a trap for fools, or watch the things you gave your life to broken, and stoop and build them up with worn-out tools, if you can make one heap of all your winnings and risk it on one turn of pitch and toss, and lose and start again at your beginnings, and never breathe a word about your loss. If you can force your heart and nerve and sinew to serve your turn long after they are gone, and so hold on when there is nothing in you, except the will which says to them, hold on. If you can talk with crowds and keep your virtue, or walk with kings nor lose the common touch, if neither foes nor loving friends can hurt you, if all men count with you, but none too much, if you can fill the unforgiving minute with 60 seconds worth of distance run, yours is the earth and everything that's in it, and which is more, you'll be a man, my son. Thank you.
Zoot Sims, ladies and gentlemen. Here's an important message. Summertown concrete construction reminds motorists that summer is a time when excitable children will be playing outdoors. I have one excitable child in mind, and he practically lives in the backyard. But I digress. Please drive carefully around parks, playgrounds, and residential areas. Remember, children riding bicycles aren't always mindful of traffic hazards. Neither are college students riding bicycles. Watch out for them. They're not always watching out for you. Brought to you by Summercow Concrete Construction in Sacramento. Serving our community since 1980. The number is 916-427-3660. That's a 916-427-3660 for Summercow Concrete Construction. They wish everyone a safe and healthy summer. Woodland School started back today, Dr. Andy said joyfully. You know, Frank Dixon Graham is a local poet who has been convincing all of us that we should be doing more for our community while enjoying great poetry. Well, Frank Dixon Graham sent me a message yesterday about some coming up events. Let me see if I can find out what those are. Here's one of them. Poets for Peace at the Breathe Building Auditorium, 12th and I Streets in Sacramento on August 20th at 5 p.m. Poets Against War joins SAPA again to fight against war and bring about peace. The series of readings is getting people motivated to speak up and stand up for social justice. Join us in this entertaining summer edition of Poets for Peace. Featured poets include Joshua Clover, who had a radio show on this radio station for a long time, Francis Kakugawa, Crawdad Nelson, Laura Bauman Otsubo, Gordon Preston, Joanne Anglin, Leonard Campos, Sean King, also comedian Keith Lowell Jensen, who's been on this radio show a dozen times or more, and guitarist-vocalist Jen Roger. Event organizer Frank Graham can be reached at frankdixongraham@aol.com. These are some terrific poets. Maybe you'll check this out. Again, it's on Saturday, August 20th from 5 until 7 p.m. If you want to find out more, you can Google the phrase Poets Against the War for Poets for Peace. That'll be a terrific event. And let's see. There was another event that he is supporting. Don't have it here, but Frank Dixon Graham, he's got a blog. You can find him on Facebook. I think he also sells insurance. He's doing his part for the local poetry scene. Here in the area of California, supported by this poetry radio show. I speak, of course, of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. Here on KDVS, 90.3 FM in Davis. Here's another event coming up in Nevada City, the Nevada City Film Festival. Check it out here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.
Beat the heat. Head to the Nevada City Film Festival August 18th to 21st for fun-filled days of independent dramas, comedies, documentaries, and animation from around the world. All happening in historic downtown Nevada City, California at the Miners Foundry, the Nevada Theater, and the Magic Theater. Mark your calendar. The 11th Annual Nevada City Film Festival August 18th to 21st.
Baseball.
We're coming up on the end of this radio show. We've got one more message to share with you. The Congressional Glaucoma Caucus is a nonprofit group that strongly supports eye screenings to reduce the risk of developing glaucoma. Doctors may now be able to use eye drops to delay or prevent glaucoma, a condition in which the eye's optic nerve is damaged, and that causes loss of peripheral vision and usually results in blindness. Pressure within the eyes is usually to blame for this condition, and a study by the National Eye Institute found that pressure-lowering eye drops can reduce glaucoma development by 50%. For more information, visit www.glaucomacongress.org. DJ Tangosaurus Rex is in the house. Cool and Deadly is coming up in this next 6 o'clock hour. Make sure you stick around for that. I'll be right back with closing words. I'd like to remind you that the Poetry Night reading series has moved from Bistro 33 to now exclusively the John Atsulis Gallery every first and third Thursday here in the city of Davis. This is an entirely non-profit event, meaning that under this new setup, nobody gets paid. Not the poets, not the gallery or the gallery owner, not the hosts, not the people who do publicity. It's all about the poetry, the community, and the surprises that are presented at the open mic portion of the Poetry Night reading series. First and third Thursdays at the John Atsulis Gallery. Right now, I don't know about you, but I'm heading off to the farmers market here in the city of Davis. Voted America's best farmers market. I would have to agree in my own experience. I'll be there with my sons Jackson and Truman. We'll be enjoying some live music and the company of some Rotarians. I don't think they'll be on rotary duty. Therefore, they'll be known as my friends. Wine will be poured. Fine, fresh produce will be shared. How great it is indeed to live in Davis on a Wednesday afternoon at 6 o'clock. That's what time it is right now here on Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour. I'd like to thank my guests, Francisco Alarcón, also Michael Caine, great number of other British actors with excellent pronunciation and enunciation. I'd like to thank Frank Dixon Graham for all the work he does on behalf of poetry. We will make sure to have him on this radio show sometime soon to talk about those upcoming events. Very pleased that Joshua Clover, poet, economist, intellectual, one-time Davidite, now a Berkeleyan again. He'll be in Sacramento for Poets Against the War, returning from an extended tour on the East Coast, which is terrific. It'll be great to have him back. He's an important part of the poetry program under the auspices of Creative Writing Program, the graduate program, part of the English department at UC Davis. Joshua Clover will be back, and the students will be dancing in the hallways of Sproul Hall. I may be overstating it, but we'll just have to see if anyone does any dancing when they see Joshua Clover. He'll be reading, I think it said, on August 20th, which is a Saturday, in the city of Sacramento, hosted by Frank Dixon Graham. Where are you? You're listening to KDVS 90.3 FM in Davis. Cool and Deadly is the name of the radio show that you're probably waiting for. It's coming up now. So stick around for that, and I'll see you next week for another edition of Dr. Andy's Poetry and Technology Hour.